Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Did you fuck her? You were like, oh, where do you live? Where do you live?
Now, we hooked up. Like both nights that we were at the hostel, we did a lot of heavy petting.
Uh-huh.
And I...
But did you know you were in love?
We made a video. My friend, it was my best friend from my childhood.
Right.
And I, at age 25, going to Europe with very little money, but staying in hostels. And we made a video of our trip. We made a movie.
Right.
And on it, you see me leaving Switzerland. He said, what did you like most about Switzerland? Or what did you learn in Switzerland?
Right, right.
I said, I learned I met the woman I'm going to marry. So I knew in 2 days that I wanted to marry her.
Wow. And she didn't, because...
She fell hard for me, too.
Whatever.
We did long distance for 8 months.
Wow.
And then she moved to New York.
You move out of the Greystone to 93rd Street.
I had 8 apartments in 12 years.
No way.
All in the Upper West Side.
8 apartments in 12 years?
At least, yeah.
Maybe that's terrible.
More. Yeah, it was very stressful to have to move.
And you're doing stand-up, you're personal training, you're doing this radio show... And then when do you quit the personal training and become the luckiest person in the world who gets a fucking radio show?
That's how you see it?
Oh, my God. You're so lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, to have 12 years of employment in this business, of steady employment, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It does not happen.
Yeah, I'm very grateful. I don't take it. I never took a day of it for granted because I knew that. And I worked very hard doing everything I possibly could to sustain it, to do a good job at it.
Right. And you were great. And you still are.
Yes, I was very good at it.
How did you get into the politics? Like you...
I was hosting that one-hour show on the Comedy Channels, and I heard they were launching this new independent political channel, which is exactly what I'd been wanting to do, to host a show on that.
But you weren't into politics. You weren't into school. You weren't into politics.
I was into politics and activism. I cared a lot about what was happening in the world, but not. I wasn't good enough or smart enough to be hosting a three-hour daily show.
Right.
But I convinced them to let me, and then I learned on the job, and I was very authentic. authentic about what I did not know.
What did you read? Like, how did you get prepared?
All I did was read all day, every day, all the newspapers and books written by experts. And then I interviewed experts, 3 to 4 experts on any number of issues every day, 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. And so it made me, I retained at least some of it. So it made me smarter and smarter to the point that I'll be on MSNBC today.
Okay, but no one's going to watch it because this doesn't air until Tuesday. Okay.
Doesn't matter. It's just the point.
Oh, the point is that I was on MSNBC a couple weeks ago. Is that the point? Tell them I said hi. Tell
I will.
Them, please.
Who's them?
Ken, what's
Mike
his name?
MSNBC. So anyway,
whatever.
I figured out how to do it.
Are you doing the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Oh, I am.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, you did? Oh, great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I've got some good ones. The ugly, you want to know what my
yeah, ugly.
They do a segment called The Good, Bad, and Ugly, in case anybody listening and isn't a huge fan of the 3:30 hour on Sunday. my ugly is that this week my daughter, my 12-year-old, and 3,000 of her middle school classmates had a real lockdown where they thought there was a gunman in the building.
No way.
Yeah.
In Rockland County?
Yeah, yeah. And so I don't want to say the name of the school, but whatever. But it's because there's so much copycat bullshit.
Right, I know.
But it was traumatizing, of course, for all the students.
And, but for the parents.
Yeah, the parents too. Like for a little while, I couldn't get a hold of her while texting. And I was calm because I statistically thought.
I thought you hate math.
Well, I hate math, but statistics has helped me maintain my sanity as a parent.
Gotcha.
Because not worrying about my kids, like everything.
I just don't understand, like, how it came to be that, you know, I know that was the safest place for kids to be is in a school. I know from growing up when I
right,
and I remember growing up, and it was like, you know, thank God they're in school and they're not with the abusive parent, or thank God they're in school.
Yeah. I think it's simply that there are so many guns and there's not enough access to healthcare and certain resources to be able to identify and help young people that are struggling.
Here's
but I
what
think
I
it's
have
mostly
to say.
The guns.
Okay. I'm just warning everyone, we're now going to go into a political discussion because Pete...
No, we don't have to at all.
No, I want to. I had all the shit I wanted to talk to you about, you motherfucker. I believe, you know, it is the guns. That part of me thinks... Tell me what you think. Part of me thinks that you sit in front of a TV screen and you play these video games where you're shooting people, right? You're just shooting people and killing them.
Yeah.
And then the next day you get up in the morning and they're alive.
Yeah, that's not true.
You don't think the
video game positive of it because there's data. There's a tremendous amount of data, but this is the winning
but
argument.
But you think if you're mentally ill and you're shooting people all day long on a thing,
because
that you get a hold of a gun and do it for real. You don't think so?
No, I don't think there could be a certain individual or isolated incidents
where that might have
contributed. But the argument, I talked about this issue with a lot of experts on my radio show, which is how I know a little bit about it. And I'm happy to have somebody try to argue against this. But the argument that wins me over is in Japan, they play these same games at a much higher frequency, or at least equal, if not higher.
Right.
But they don't have our type of violence because they don't have access to the weapons. It's access to weapons.
Gotcha.
These games might do something.
It's for mentally ill kids.
They might not, it doesn't matter. If you don't have access to weapons, you can't kill a whole bunch of people in a short amount of time.
Right. Okay, I may be a cockeyed liberal, but I don't... How can you love your gun more than your children? How?
That's not the way to look at it. That's not how the gun people look at it.
Okay.
They would say, I love my children much more than my guns. That's why I have guns to protect them.
Right. What is this fucking love of guns?
It is cultural. It's just...
But doesn't everyone in the other countries go, oh my God, what the fuck is going on there?
Yes.
Like that they have mass shootings that are not even reported anymore because it's like, oh, and there was a mass shooting.
Well, it's also the real issue with guns is suicide. People are constantly blowing their heads off.
Right.
All day, every day, pop, 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 heads blowing off and a lot of them are young people.
Right.
And a lot of them are just people who just need help, but they have access to a gun. There's a gun in the house.
Right. But you would think that all these
cops and veterans, especially,
that's the worst.
Because they have guns. It's the guns. It's the access to guns. They should be very difficult to get.
Do you understand?
I've shot guns a lot. By the way, I love
shooting. And it's fun, right?
It's so fun. Yeah. They're awesome. They're awesome machines. But
did your father have a gun?
we shot guns. He never owned one.
Right.
But we would go and we would shoot them. And he got us BB guns that we would shoot cans with. And that was a lot of fun.
Right.
And we were safe with it. We eventually had BB gun wars.
I had a water gun. I had a water gun.
Well, you're Jewish. I don't know what that means.
That's pretty much true. That we would have water guns and that's about it. But
there's a big argument that if they allowed Jews to have guns, the Nazis, then the Jews would have. And that's the pro-gun argument.
Right.
Which is not a lot of fun.
Right.
That argument.
And it's not true.
No, it's definitely not true.
Right.
Although I do like those movies where, you know, World War II, like movies where the Jews get the guns, like Defiance.
Right, right.
And they slaughter the Nazis or Inglorious Bastards. Like,
right.
I do enjoy those.
Right. So here we are. You are very anti-gun on your radio show. What kind of mail do you get?
Well, the worst was when, I don't want to name drop, but the most popular podcast and potentially show in the country is the Joe Rogan.
Right, right.
And I did that recently, as
right,
you know.
I know.
And we got into it on guns. And it wasn't contentious, I don't think, because we like each other and it was fine. But we were arguing.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the popularity of that show, and because they, you know, generally people like what the host likes or agree with the host, and he's he's got a huge, very strong following. So the gun people from his show are still attacking me. One of the most prominent gun, kind of pro-gun guys who has a huge YouTube channel, like made a video in answering my video.
Right.
Like, and it's gone viral, apparently. I won't even watch it, but they have been horrific to me. But I mean, they have zero followers and they're not the sharpest.
Right.
The hottest gun in the shed.
Right.
I mean, so I don't really, but they are very, it's like very few other issues that activates people to say the worst types of things.
That gun is number one, and abortion is the other one.
Where those are the two probably most divisive animating issues, in my opinion, in the country. Obviously, race and religion, people think their arguments are extremely sound when it comes to abortion and guns,
right,
on all sides,
right.
And people are a little bit more open-minded on things like sexuality and race and religion, a little bit.
But only because the world got smaller and people know gay people now, or their relatives came out, or their teachers came out, or their neighbors came out, or their niece and nephew or kids or uncle, yeah.
And that's the same that's happening, I think, with both the women's reproductive rights and sexual harassment and guns.
No, okay.
The tide is absolutely turning on guns. People are never going to be satisfied as long as people are blowing their heads off and young people are being killed and people are being in schools and people are being killed in their sanctuaries, their houses of worship. That's going to continue to be bad. But organizations like Moms Demand have absolutely turned the tide, because the violence in America has been so publicized and so heart-wrenching, and their activism has been very effective. They've been extremely effective with their campaigns.
Right.
And they have public opinion on their side, and the gun lobby has been exposed as not about your personal safety, not about the Second Amendment,
right,
but about making money selling guns and bullets.
Right.
I love our new sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. It is the biggest online nursery in the United States, with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers, of which I am one of them. They have everything you want. Really, seriously, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. And I know you're thinking, Judy, you live in an apartment in New York City. What's with the fast-growing trees? Well, let me tell you something. You don't need to have a yard or a lot of space. You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home. And guess what I have? A fig tree in my office, and I fucking love it. I love it. Hi, Avi. His name is Avi, and I love him. And he brightens up. It makes me so happy. And I talk to him. Okay, I know I'm going overboard, but having plant life in your house is so comforting. And I love fast-growing trees. Thank you for this beautiful fig tree. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever, okay? And I just got a new pot for Avi, so I'm going to be calling them and asking them the correct way to put it in there. You will find the perfect thing for your climate, for your space, for your aesthetic needs. It's great. I love it. I have a plant and it's so, I'm telling you, it has made me much happier. And you know how happy I am. Anyway, this spring, which is, you know, spring is, it is the growing season. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online. Up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
By the way, Jacqueline is Henry's girlfriend, and she's my new daughter, and she's perfect. 4 months? 5 months?
Oh, that's it? Oh, wow.
4 months?
Are you from New York City?
No. Connecticut.
Are you Jewish?
Yes. Hello.
Sorry. You didn't ring the bell that time. Huh? Would you date a non-Jew? Oh, God, I hate that.
Fucking love her. Why do you hate that?
Because it's so, if any white person ever said, oh, I wouldn't date a blank person. Jews so often, and I think minorities in general be like, I wouldn't go outside my whatever.
But because it's a different,
and I hate that
because
let's
get a microphone.
I also hate it.
Get the microphone.
I also hate
we're
because
now having
I
a Jew
have
discussion.
Had strong feelings for Jewish women in my life, and I've had them say as a result, of it, I can't be with you. I once dated a very religious Orthodox girl. I didn't date her. We just hooked up and she felt guilty about it. And I used to hate that.
Right.
I don't like religion. Discussion. The main problem with religion for me is the way that it separates people and divides
right.
people. And why, if you're Jewish and I love you and I'm in love with you and I admire, you're not going to date me because I'm not Jewish.
So now we've shifted the discussion since Jacqueline's Jewish, Henry's Jewish, I'm Jewish. Pete has fallen in love with a Jew, but couldn't continue. And he thinks that religion separates people and doesn't understand why Jews want to marry other Jews.
I understand why they want to.
Right. But it's because being Jewish, it's, as you can tell, it's in your DNA. Okay, number one. Number two, it's a way of life. It's a way of living.
Yes. And that's what got me. I dated a non-Jew for a really long time.
It's Jacqueline.
And it was only, our relationship was so hard at times because we just culturally were not in sync because it's so ingrained to how you're raised and who you are. And it's just like such a vital part of raising a Jewish family. Like it just,
it was the foreskin.
Did he have foreskin?
Yeah.
Ew. You touched another person's penis? Get out. Get out. Get out. Disgusting.
What was his ethnicity?
Phone
was
to
he
mouth.
European?
Mike.
Why did he have foreskin?
Yeah, mouth.
Okay. He was a Polish immigrant. So not only did I date a non-Jew, but I dated a Polish person.
What's wrong with that?
They hate us more. They hate us.
Well, he didn't hate you.
His family hated me.
They
well, that's,
did?
That's,
immediate family, yeah, no. But cousins, yes.
But I don't know. I understand everything that you just said about wanting to date someone, be with someone who shares your culture. But I was always a person who wanted to date people who didn't share my culture because, frankly, my culture was boring. I didn't have any.
You don't have culture. We have culture,
yeah,
and
so
we're better than you.
I
and
get
that's
that.
The thing.
I understand that.
We're
that's
the
what,
chosen.
Let me, how do I get to be
don't
better?
Don't forget to write to me as if I totally believe that.
How do I get to be more understanding and more cultured myself if you're not going to allow me to be intimate with you?
There's another way of doing it. It's learning and not having to fuck the person. It's right. You can learn about Judaism without fucking a Jewish girl.
But I was intimate with black men, not sexually, but lived with them.
Let's take a picture of that.
There was an intimacy there. And, you know, sexual intimacy is different, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, like, don't hold me back. What'd you put on my head?
A kippah.
Is this a bowl?
It's a special kippah.
I've worn these.
You gotta look at the kippah.
I have my own. Oh God, that's awesome! A Robert Smigel triumph.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have my own from attending my friend's bar mitzvah.
Wait, go.
But it's funny to have it.
Okay.
On a bald head, it's always funny.
No, it's bad.
I have just
you
enough stubble.
Right.
Yeah,
to hold it
go
on.
Right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal. Like, we have different holidays. Yeah. We have eat differently.
I get it.
We communicate differently.
But most of my friends, close friends, are Jewish.
Right.
And
are you willing to give up the Christmas tree and the Christmas?
If I was in love with a woman, I'd be willing to give up anything, I think. Yeah. I mean, like,
okay, you're not normal.
It's fine, but that's not what we're not talking about. That we're talking about you. We're talking about you saying I wouldn't be with. We're talking about you saying.
Well, no, she said she wouldn't be with.
But I think it's fine to have.
But if you met a guy like me that loved you and loved your culture and loved your background and that understood
right, but she
Jewish history and wanted to be more.
She right, but
sure,
she
sure, but like I
and no, I wouldn't get rid of the tree. By the way, just to get back to that. No, I mean the fact that you guys are missing out on Christmas.
I go to my friend's house.
I know. I go to my friend's house. You're missing out on Hanukkah.
No one. I don't think Jews ever say that.
No, well, Rosh Hashanah is the good one.
I'm not saying Rosh you Hashanah. Don't have fun. I'm not saying Hanukkah isn't good. It's not Christmas.
No, it isn't. And Christmas has turned it. First of all,
but
there's
Christmas
fucking
is such
Christmas.
A hallmark holiday yeah. that I feel like I celebrate
it's
it.
It's not.
Christmas is not a hallmark holiday.
I understand, but
okay,
what
it is.
It's become, absolutely
it's
is.
It's a man coming to your house and bringing you presents. And when you grow up believing that, even though it's a lie, and even you do have the tragedy of struggle, and a parent does have to decide whether or not they're going to tell that lie to their kid because they have to watch them eventually come unraveled, and then they start asking about the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny. It doesn't matter. It's worth it. It is worth it. That feeling of walking down and seeing your presents and the stockings.
First of all, we have the Tooth Fairy.
Wait, and we have Hanukkah Harry.
No, we
don't.
That's what my parents told me when I was like, why doesn't Santa come to
my parents told
my
me
house?
That you were the Tooth Fairy.
Really?
Yeah, it was always a Jewish fairy. Yeah.
Why?
I think that might be anti-Semitic because he gave you money.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is.
Oh really? Yeah, did they really?
No, they. My dad.
Oh, that's funny.
My dad told us the Tooth Fairy didn't come because Jews took the money. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he said we. I
okay,
saw
so
the
your
Tooth
dad
Fairy
does
here,
not like Jews.
But I also saw a Jewish man here, and I think that's where your dollar went.
Is that true?
No.
God damn it. No. You're so anti-Semitic.
My dad did once tell me the difference between Polish and Russian Jews and had no idea. It was so obvious. I remember just laughing. I'm like, you don't know either, do you? But he's like, yeah, I work in real estate. Like, I don't think you know.
Did you have your own bedroom growing up?
I did.
Wow.
And I had sex with a soccer ball pillow in it.
No way.
Yes, because I was Catholic and Catholics were taught not to masturbate, not to touch themselves.
Right.
That was something to be. So I thought there was a loophole in my dumb little 14 or 15 year old brain. And I thought if I didn't touch my own penis, then it wouldn't be. And so I started with having sex with the shower faucet. I would just put my penis in the stream. And it would beat my dick like a speed bag. And then I moved on to, I had this pillow that had stuffing coming out of it in a hole. Mm. And so I made that my girlfriend. And that was great. And
wait,
then
was
I
she nice?
Huh?
Was she nice?
She wasn't very judgmental. And then.
Did she make you sneeze or anything?
No, she was just always there for me, waiting.
Right.
We're just waiting.
Right.
Until she wasn't. Because she became so hard. But then I got a new pillow and she
wait, did your mother know the pillow
oh,
was
yeah,
your girlfriend?
Yeah. She knew when I was masturbating because she would be passive aggressive. She would say, that sure was a long shower or where's my lotion?
Yeah, I never
said that. Or
do you
want me to get more tissues at the, you know, things like that. Sucked.
Ugh.
Yeah, I never did that. Yeah. I just said, this is the place where all the wash rags are. That's what I did. All right. Do we have any more Jewish shit we need to discuss?
I said my piece.
Okay. President, let's talk about why, this is my next comment, why a white gay male who is 37 years old could get more donations than a woman who is a senator and very qualified.
Yeah.
Where there are three of them.
Who are we talking about? All of them? Are they? Is he
they're all qualified.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris.
Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Yep.
Who married a Jew, and Amy Klobuchar, who I happen to love and adore.
Oh, yeah, is that right?
Yes.
Why?
I love the way she handled the Kavanaugh hearings.
Okay.
She's been on the Foreign Relations Committee. She is very likable by, you know, Republicans like her.
Sure.
She's Midwest. She's smart. She fucking worked her way. I fucking love her.
All right.
I love her. Who are you enjoying right now during
the... I'm not enjoying it very much. I'll say that because uh-huh. it's just so much to deal with. I have been a long time supporter of Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, I enjoy Elizabeth Warren.
I've known her. I don't know her, but I have followed her career since uh-huh. she was working as a kind of a government watchdog.
Right.
The issue personally...
You called her a dog?
No, she was a government.
Did you just fucking call Elizabeth Warren a dog?
She was a government watchdog?
No, you said...
No, that's a compliment.
Said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say what you were saying.
Did you hear that, Jacqueline?
Don't turn on me, Jacqueline.
All right, so go ahead.
And so I don't like the financial industry in terms of what they did
yes,
to destroy the economy. And they need someone like her.
Right.
And so I've always liked her. And I love Bernie Sanders. Love Bernie Sanders. And
I don't... No comment.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, you... Why...
Not on that bandwagon.
Yeah. I think he's too old. I think anybody that age should not be running for president, but I mean, I'd be fine with him being president.
Mm. All right. Well, we have some disagreements.
Hey, everyone. I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Why do you think Pete Buttigieg has more finances than
I would?
Why do you think this country is so misogynistic?
Yeah.
That they yes. would rather they would rather have a gay man. They will overlook that than have a woman. This is the most misogynist. I mean, yeah. Yes, women can drive. Yes, women can do
I
would this.
Say,
I'm sorry, but
misogynist is accurate, but I prefer the word patriarchal.
Very patriarchal. It's almost, I say
because
patriarchal.
There are a lot of women
right.
who also agree with men being in charge
right.
and being subservient. And all of right. that is religion, mainly Christianity, right. in my opinion.
But it's a new Christianity.
No,
it's a new. I'm telling you, the evangelicals are taking over. And the Mormons.
They've been
the
taking over very, for a long
that's
time.
A newer Mormons religion. Are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're, it's a newish religion. It's only 100-something years old
mm-hmm.
from upstate New York. But, you know, whatever. But why do you, does that bother you at all? Do you think as a white male?
Yes, it bothers me a tremendous amount.
Don't you think, you saw these women at these hearings. They were all steely, smart, honest, verbal, communicative, unflappable.
Yes, all of those things.
And Kavanaugh is like,
but it's the women who get emotional.
And fucking Jim fucking Jordan, fuck you. You put on a fucking jacket, you asshole.
Yeah,
who the fuck do you think you are? Watching someone jerk off in the shower, not reporting it. Devin Nunes? Like, these people are mental.
Yes.
They're mental.
Well, they are.
And yet these women sit there.
I agree completely. I think that this country has a really hard time with women in general. You don't see that in places like Israel or Norway.
Right. So let's
say
Israel.
Where there's a lot more equity and
right.
gender.
Israel,
equity.
They don't fucking care you are.
We don't have the Equal Rights Amendment. And that's been something that has been fought for, forever.
And there's women who were doing
black men got the right to vote before women.
Right.
The idea that women have always been lesser than in this country and in every single.
And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Black women are the strongest women. There's the Jew woman and the black woman.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. And now the Latina.
Black women are the only people I won't argue with. Tried to argue with a black woman who was writing me a ticket, a police officer.
No.
And she put her hand in my face. I'll never forget it because I can argue, as you know, with anybody.
Yeah.
And she put her hand in my face. She goes, I have heard it all. And that was the greatest argument. I was like, oh, I bet you have. And I was like, all right, just finish up.
Talk about not only being a woman, but being a woman of color.
Yeah.
Being a woman of color. That's an added.
How about a gay woman of color?
Gay woman of color.
Yeah. Or a gay small person who's a woman of color. I'm not being funny. Every single one of these categories makes your life more difficult. And so I do agree that what you're saying is that you generally become a tougher, more resilient person. I think
deal with so much shit.
Yeah.
You know how to. And this fucking Kavanaugh who went to private school and was coddled and whatever. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Look at fucking Trump, fucking asshole.
Yeah. It's a very typical American journey. And,
right.
And it has
it's got to stop.
And it has to stop
it's
with
time.
Men. Men have to raise their sons and daughters differently.
So
you happen to be talking to the best father of daughters that you ever will. Like, I am extremely dedicated to researching and understanding my own behavior, the behavior that I'm role modeling, mm-hmm. and trying to be the best dad I can be for these
right.
girls. And everybody says to me, I hate this. Oh, your daughters are so beautiful. Number one, that's their ninth best quality. But number two, they say you better get a shotgun. You know,
oh, right. We already did that. Yeah. Oh, did we talk about
not
this?
Not on the air.
Yeah.
And I always say to them, I'm like, I'm not going to be there when they get sexually assaulted. I'm not there to protect them. They
right.
have to protect themselves.
Right.
I'm teaching them to be independent and to not be scared of
right.
everything.
Right.
So, and to protect them. They will protect themselves. They don't need a man to protect them.
Right.
I think that's like the best thing you can do.
Of course it
for
is.
Your
I'm
kids.
The greatest.
Like teaching them not to be afraid.
Right.
Like, I feel like my parents tried really hard because we have three girls. I'm one of three.
Yeah.
All girls.
Yeah.
And
all Jewish?
All Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's hard when you're a dad and you're raising
right.
women and you
in
don't
this shit world.
And you haven't lived like the woman experience. So you have to.
Well, that's
it's not that hard. You have to just have empathy.
Right.
It's not that hard. You just have to look at
but
life through another person's eyes and understand statistics and history and
mm-hmm.
psychology and sociology and economics
okay.
and gender diversity.
Number one, I've raised two boys. And I think they're pretty good. Jacqueline?
I love them.
Okay. Anyway.
What you supposed to say?
First of all, I did want to say that all the young women who didn't vote for Hillary because they were like, I don't have to vote for a woman because there'll be a woman president in my lifetime. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
That's problematic.
You have not lived as a woman in this world. So how dare you? Okay. Okay. That's number one. Number two. I asked my guests two questions. I could sit here and talk to you forever. I had many more questions to discuss with you. First question. you know, we're very pro mental health here. Mm-hmm. Have you been on any, or do you take any antidepressants? No. Never?
No, never have.
Wow.
You know, just weed.
Weed and meditation? I heard.
Yes, I meditate.
You do the transcendental?
Yeah. Yes.
Because I have been trying to get a mantra.
Do you know what my mantra is? You're not supposed to say your mantra.
Yeah.
What mine is?
Are you? Yeah.
Black cock.
Oh, that's a great mantra.
It was a weird thing to say over and over, but that's what they gave me.
Where'd you go? I want to go to Bob Roth.
Yeah, I went to him.
Yeah. He keeps saying, you know, oh, yeah.
He taught me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gave me
my mantra. It's not black cock. But.
Oh, it isn't?
No, you're never supposed to reveal your mantra.
I know. And you do that every day?
Almost.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I know. Yeah. So is my cock. Okay, so... But you have, but you're very pro mental. You know, we're very pro mental health, and whatever it takes.
Yes,
because you're in a bad place right now. It might not hurt to have a little.
Yeah, I probably need to go to therapy. Is the one thing missing right now, but that's expensive too. I'm just trying to save money.
Yeah,
yeah. I have a lot of good friends that I've been dumping on.
Who was there on your last show?
You were
right.
Yep, it was a really special.
Thank you. And who's kept in contact with you since?
You've been very thoughtful.
Hmm. And who hasn't written me back and like immediately? I
replied.
Fuck you. Okay, here's my other. Here's my last question. This is what we, and the podcast is called Kill Me Now.
Yeah.
And it's because I get aggravated at everything, as you know. What pisses you off? This is for you, Jacqueline, too. What pisses you off more than anything? Like makes you fucking like you want to fucking kill someone?
Bullying and injustice.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot believe the shit these motherfuckers get away with and the way they lie and people, and that it's not called out.
Yeah. That's it for me. The ignorance of science or lack of curiosity of people, the lack of empathy bothers me. And, you know, just inequity. Just people thinking that, you know, if you work hard, that's all you need to do. That has nothing to do with why people succeed or not.
Right.
I mean, it has something to do with it. Of course, there's an element to it, but it's always about opportunity. It's about opportunity.
Do you think that the situation we're in now in this country is because of the backlash that we had an African-American president who was such
a good part of president? That. There's part of that.
I think this is partly, a referendum on...
I think that's history. I think that's everywhere in the history of humanity. People, you know, change being difficult for people and them taking it personally and...
Okay. Here's the thing. People always say we went from Barack Obama to Trump.
Yeah.
But the bigger
issue?
Diversion
or
whatever is that we went from Michelle Obama to Melania fucking naked photos.
That's hard. That's hard.
And fucking bullshit lies.
She is a very inspiring.
Be best.
Both
hashtag
of them were role models.
Hashtag be best.
They raised their daughters the same time I was raising my daughters. He was a role model as a husband for me and a father. And this, why are you laughing?
Who, Barack?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Trump. Yes.
No, and Trump is the opposite.
Right.
The way he treats his wife, the way he treats his kids, it's opposite.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. And they bought, the RNC bought $95,000 worth of that fucking greaseball fuckface.
Donald Trump Jr.'s book that someone else wrote.
And when I say greaseball, it's not as a slur to Italian people. It's that he puts so much fucking shit in his hair.
Yeah.
Jacqueline, what pisses you off the most?
I think ignorance.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just can't.
I can't with stupid people. Like fucking,
Or just, I don't know. I literally have no patience for people. It's not, like, some people are ignorant and it's not their fault and maybe they're trying to learn.
Right.
But it's just...
Lack of curiosity.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
It's just when you're just, like, so settled into...
Like, oh, I don't need to know that. Oh!
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of the way the media is dealing with this presidency?
Media will always do whatever it takes to make money.
So what would you tell our listeners before you leave?
To subscribe to
my
website, Stand Up With Pete Dominic.
But also, what are the other things you think they should read so they're not ignorant?
I think you should follow actual journalists working for newspapers and independent journalists that are non-corporate.
Right.
That there's a whole bunch of great organizations like ProPublica and Parbell and so many others. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And as we always say, so long!
and everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.